Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome. Hi, I'm Dr. Deborah.
And I'm Coach Kelly.
And you are listening to us at our debut show of Talk. Kelly, I don't know about you, but I am so excited.
I am beyond excited.
I'm so excited, I think I could faint.
Don't do that.
I shouldn't do that.
I don't want to do this alone.
So we have a lot to talk about today. We're going to talk about the holidays upcoming, difficult family members, what to do in situations of getting or receiving gifts that are too expensive. We have so much on our plates today to share with you. But I think first it would be great for us to share a little bit about our own backgrounds so
Perfect.
Our listeners can get an idea of who we are.
Sounds good.
You want to go first or you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. So I am a psychologist and I've been practicing for, I hate to say it, but 2 decades, but it is true. And I'm based here in Los Angeles, Thousand Oaks in Los Angeles, California, but we have an international audience. So that may not be that relevant to many
right.
people. But most importantly is that you can listen to our show anywhere in the world. And that's what's really, really exciting. So I have a PhD and mostly I specialize in relationships and intimacy issues, infidelity, all kinds of things like that. I noticed something today, just as a little add-on, when I was working with a client this morning, that I realized that, you know, the things that I specialize in are usually the things that I have dealt with myself personally. And I actually put it together. So whatever's on my resume, whatever's on my website, my work experience, it's like, oh, yeah, that was me at one point. Yeah, that was me
Well, do you
at
think
one
it's,
point.
That's why you specialize it? Because you've had that personal experience?
I think so. I think it makes it so much more relevant for me as a psychologist, as somebody sitting in the room with somebody in pain, that I know that I have been touched by that as well. So even if I don't have it in the most severe way, I at least can relate on a level where, okay, mm-hmm. I've at least been there to some degree myself.
Now, do you share that with your patients or...
I do. So it depends on the person. You know, there's lots of rules, so to speak, in the profession as a licensed person about how much is too much self-disclosure, how much is not enough. So I really gear that toward the person. There's some people who are very interested in my life, and if I wouldn't share something about it, they'd be out the door in a second.
Wow.
There are other people, if you start sharing...
They think it's all about
it's
you.
It's like, it's all about you.
Yes.
And then I'll be the therapist. They go to the next therapist who would say, I couldn't get a word in edgewise.
Right.
So it's really geared toward that. So also, I've written several books and I've done a lot in the media and, you know, people will find out more about me later. And how about you, Kelly? Share the highlights.
Okay. So I'm also, well, I'm a therapist. Got my master's in social work from University of Pennsylvania. My favorite thing is also relationships, communication, intimacy, but I've dealt with anxiety, depression, trauma. I've worked a great deal with adolescents, so I've kind of done a whole bunch of different things. I love counseling and giving out advice. That's why I was so excited to do this show. And I just want to say out loud, our number is 323-203-0815. If you do have a question for Dr. Deborah or Coach Kelly, please give us a call. And we're super excited to start the show.
And we really, really do want to emphasize that we are so looking forward to you, our listener, calling us, sharing thoughts, feelings, et cetera, about your lives, questions, anything we can do to help you along through the day, tips on thriving, tips through any difficult time in your any difficult situation in your life. That's what we really want this show to be about. I know for me, Kelly, and I'm pretty sure this is true for you, we do not want to be talking heads. We do not want to be coming up with news articles
each
week.
That's not us.
And talking about who's right, who's wrong. We don't want this to be adversarial. We really want this show to be about us here to listen to you and to help out if we can. And if it's something too serious outside the scope of the show, then we'll try to lead you in the direction of professional services that might be able to help you. So please do call us at 323-203-0815. And for those more shy or introverted, please also, it's equally as valuable to us if you want to email us. And that leads me to, how do we come up with this title, Kelly? Talk.
Okay. Well, we had brainstormed a lot of different ideas. But I have to give credit to Dr. Deborah. She was the one who came up with this and has a great little story to go with it.
So we wanted something that would lead you to believe that we are here to help you, right? So we wanted something that was advice, but advice is so cliche. Mm-hmm. You know, it just people use that all the time. We didn't want to say we're relationship experts because what's expert in it? We may be, but who knows? That's all subjective, right? Our advice may not be what you think is expert at all. But anyway, so my sweetie and I, we actually have this cute little saying that we use with each other when we've quarreled, when we've bickered, when we've had a bad time with each other, and one of us is still pouting or angry, the other one will come over and say, come on, hug it out. Hug it out. Just hug it out. So we were in the middle of one of those a couple weeks ago, and I said, hug it out. How about talk?
That's perfect.
And it works for everything, right? You have a problem?
I'm impressed that you can hug it out after a fight, but that's another topic, but I'm impressed. Like I'm like, oh, I need a break. I need a different room. So good for you modeling for our listeners.
It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm in the hug.
but you're just doing the motions.
I might be going. But you know what? There's something to be said about that. You know, fake it till you make it.
Yes.
When you actually don't feel like doing something, but you force yourself to do it because you're using the front lobe, your frontal lobe in your brain, the higher level thinking that says, I know this is going to be good for me. I do not want to do it. The middle of the brain says, no, no, no. Go get your immediate needs met.
Yeah.
And that's not the way, right? But then you say, but I know doing this higher order behavior is going to help me. So that's kind of what I try to practice. And I try to help people practice that also because it's the things that we resist that are usually the things that would be the best for us.
Very true. Well, they've done studies to show that if you don't feel like smiling and then you smile, you actually become happier.
Absolutely. A very simple tool to use when you're having a down day, when you're having a bad mood, when the world just doesn't look so bright to you. And maybe it did 5 minutes ago, but it doesn't just now. Just put that smile on your face. Think about something funny.
Right.
Think about something that you're looking forward to in the future. Those are all great ways to help uplift mood in the moment.
Well, I think this is a perfect segue to talk about anxiety because so many people have anxieties during the holidays. It's so common.
You mean that thing I'm feeling in the pit of my stomach right now?
As you're doing the show. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. Anxiety. It's one of my favorite topics, probably because I have had more than my fair share of anxiety in life. And I know you well enough, Coach Kelly, that you have also. So, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon, anxiety. I want to distinguish it from fear because that's often
what is the difference?
Yeah. So fear is actually our body's emotional energy when there is real danger in front of us. So there's an actual danger. The body goes into a fight, flight, or freeze response in order to cope with that danger. The simplistic way of defining that as different from anxiety is exactly the same mechanism in the body, but it's about perceived danger when there is none. So one of my favorite examples is if you and I are out in the woods and we see a bear, more than likely, if we don't have weapons, which I probably wouldn't carry one on our lovely hike, right?
Yeah.
And then we see a bear. You and I are both going to be in fear.
Sure.
And we will respond according to our own mechanisms of fight, flight, or freeze.
Right.
But if you and I are casually having coffee and we're playing with your kids, and we bring out the book Goldilocks and the Three Bears, and I look at the picture of the bear, and because I'm imagining that to be a real bear, I start to get catastrophic thinking in my head, like, oh my God, I've had a bad experience with a bear, or I once watched a documentary that scared me when I was little, etc. And then I start to have this reaction in my body that feels just like fear, but that's anxiety.
So it's basically in your head.
Yep. And hence, the beauty of that is that anxiety is treatable because if we focus on it as not real danger, you don't want to talk somebody out of fear if there's a legitimate danger, but you do want to help talk somebody out of anxiety if there is something they're only imagining as being dangerous or that could be dangerous somewhere down the line but isn't right now in this moment.
Right.
So there's another great little simplistic way of defining it. Anxiety is also the gap between the present and the past and the present and the future, two areas over which we have zero control. So how do you treat anxiety? Help somebody get back into the moment. Think about their thoughts. Focus on the thoughts. If the thoughts are catastrophic and they're focusing on something that could happen but isn't happening now, that's front-running the body into a state of fight, flight, or freeze.
I see. Okay, so how does this relate to the holidays? What kind of anxiety do you think people have, you know, around the holidays? What's in their head?
Well, you and I both know that anything can cause people anxiety.
That's true.
Around the holidays.
From shopping to dealing with family members, all sorts of anxiety.
What's the number one anxiety that you're going through right now? I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours.
All right, sounds good. And all the listeners. My main anxiety right now, I have a problem with when I have too much on my plate, getting anxious about thinking about all those different events. It's like very hard for me to compartmentalize and just be like, all right, I'm just going to focus on the one. Like I look at my calendar, I'm like, oh, I got XYZ coming up. I got this one coming up. It's that anticipatory anxiety before it all happens.
And that is that not being in control of something that you couldn't possibly have control over yet,
completely.
Right? So you booked your calendar, that you have control over.
Yes.
So it would help to make each one of those a more manageable task by looking at how much perfectionism you're adding into that mix.
That is 100% true.
Yeah.
It's like it's got to go perfectly. And so if not, I think that's probably what causes all that worry and anxiety. It's like, okay, well, what if it doesn't turn out the right way? But yet what's ironic is it always ends up being okay. So it's like rationally, it's like, okay, I can kind of tell myself like, all right, it's going to be all right. But yeah, beforehand, it's like that sort of, you know, hamster wheel of thoughts go through.
So do you think, if I may psychoanalyze you
please,
just a bit,
go
Coach
ahead.
Kelly?
I feel like I should lay down, yeah.
coach on the couch with Dr. Debra.
Different kind of show, but all right.
Okay. So do you think that you have people in your life who in reality have these excessively high expectations of you, or do you think that's more in your own head?
No, it's in my own head. Yeah, I think so.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, how much noise we create in our own minds about things that we project onto other people that really isn't about them. Now, that's not to say that there aren't people in our families or amongst our friends who do have unrealistic and excessive expectations of how we will perform something. I mean, how many times have you gone to a party before and you've heard somebody say, can you believe that she put that on the table? Can you believe that she didn't serve such and such?
Yes.
Can you 100. Believe that her husband did?
Yep.
And you're saying,
yes.
Why are you so judgmental about that?
100%. There's not enough food absolutely.
So that I think that actually feeds to our fears in our minds about what people could be thinking.
Right.
So I always tell people, and I've worked really hard at telling myself this, you know, we can't please everybody all the time. And why would we want to?
So
because
true.
Then we lose ourselves. We can never be our authentic and genuine self if all we're doing is thinking about what somebody else expects or wants of us.
Yes.
So if we're good enough, and good enough is, you know, you're operating within your value system, you're doing the best you can with what you have, letting go of the rest is so much more freeing.
Absolutely.
So that's a huge one.
All right. So what's yours? What are your anxiety
fears? Dysfunctional family members.
Oh, God. I think so many people can relate to that.
Yeah, and I could be among them, by the way. It's not necessarily
I don't think so.
I may be the most dysfunctional of all
simply
because I'm expecting some reality that's probably never going to be.
Right.
You know, and I think when you put a bunch of different personalities in a room, and people do have different expectations of what's right and what isn't right. And I'm not talking about major, major value differences, but I'm talking about just run-of-the-mill, how you would serve. Let's say you're doing the holiday dinner. Let's say you're doing Thanksgiving is upcoming and, you know, you're preparing the turkey and you don't like to stuff it, you know, because maybe
you think that
there's too much bacteria or it takes too long to cook or whatever the reasons are, you decide you're going to have side dishes. And maybe somebody, as an extended family member, has come from the tradition of you always stuff the turkey.
Right.
You know, so people can be petty about things like that, as we were talking about. People can be very judgmental and then it becomes a nightmare.
Right.
So I always have a lot of anxiety about, you know, who's going to be angry at home or who's going to say something that's inappropriate or something that's mean that they think is sarcastic or, you know, an attempt to be funny, but it's hitting below the belt. I think that's my anxiety.
So, I mean, in this case, do you feel like it's best to just be cordial to that family member and just, you know, be polite, but then either walk away or talk to somebody else? In that moment, what do you recommend? Because you don't want to be rude, obviously, and then create some more tension.
I think slugging them with your best left hook is probably the number one choice.
I think everyone wants to do that to some family member.
But I think doing that in one's mind is okay because a little bit of sadistic fantasizing about things, as long as it doesn't get to a level where you would actually act act on it is very freeing. It's cathartic. You know, it's a release of some energy and tension. You know, you break up with a boyfriend and you think about slashing his tires. You know, it's okay. Think about it. Sure. Just don't act on it. So what do you really do? I think when I can get into the mindset of just what I was sharing with you before about this is not about perfectionism. This is not about pleasing everybody. Yeah. This is not about jumping too far into the what ifs, handling it if it happens and not worrying so much about it. Yeah. I do much better. And I think most people do much better when you just try to stay in the realm of what you can actually control. And I can't really control what somebody thinks about me. Yeah. I really can't. But your point is, but I can control how I react to somebody's thoughts or actions toward me. So if somebody says something nasty or says something that's hurtful, depending on my mood, I may say something direct like, ouch, I'm sure you didn't intend for that to hurt my feelings, but it actually did. Or I may just say, come back with some sort of flippant retort or remark, or just sort of close that conversation and move on to something else. I think it's really helpful around the holidays, especially because for a lot of people, you have, I think, more people in a condensed and concentrated time than you generally have throughout the year. You know, people make special efforts around the holidays to come together for family in terms of if somebody, you know, lives across the country or, you know, wouldn't normally see people on a regular basis. So I think that when you can, if you're the host or you know you're going someplace and you can speak up, kind of trying to put people together who might get along the best.
Like seating next to
them? Yeah. So sometimes people will just do open seating, but that can actually cause a lot of anxiety for the guests. Because if somebody shows up and let's say they really have trouble with Uncle John. Like Uncle John is, you know, he's a lech. He tries to, you know, touch her under the table even though he's, you know, married, you know, that kind of thing. You know, and you don't want to make a scene. I think it's appropriate if a host, you know, even says to people high on their, you know, the guest list, hey, let me know, is there anybody you'd prefer to sit with or not sit with?
Smart.
I think that that could actually be a very courteous and thoughtful, empathetic thing to do for your guests.
And do you think it's rude? Let's say you're seated next to somebody you actually don't like. Are you able to then go to the host and say, so sorry, excuse me, you know, do you mind if I sit next to Sally rather than, you know, Veronica?
I think that I've developed my voice enough where I probably could do that, but that took a lot of work. I don't know that most people are comfortable doing that because you really do have to get, if you're secure within yourself and you're practicing that I can't control what other people think of me and you're not rude about it. Yeah. I think that the art of mastering the art of assertiveness without being rude is a very, very fine-tuned skill. But I think most of us, when we're anxious, we blurt things out that usually don't sound so good after we said them.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think also, let's
What about you? What would you do in that situation?
Well, I was just thinking, would I be able to have the balls to say something to the host? I don't know. I think I could see it both ways. But even if I didn't, I honestly think it would be a really great learning experience about how to deal with somebody that you don't like and just sort of how to remain polite, but yet, you know, enjoy yourself and not focus too much on that person. Because the truth is, in all areas of our lives, we come across these types of people that, you know, we either have to work with or come in contact with, or kids' moms, for example. You know, a couple of my son's friends, I'm not crazy about the moms, but, you know, you still have to relate in some way or another. So I think it's good practice to just kind of sit and deal and focus on yourself and still having a great time.
And sometimes that may mean being a little quieter.
Yes.
Because there'll be another chance where you'll get to speak up in another situation. You know,
very
sometimes
true.
We put too much stock in one event as if that's, yeah, of course, it could be the one and only time that that ever occurs again. And there's certainly situations, and maybe you have, you know, a grandparent or somebody who's may be their very last holiday with you. So you put more stock in that particular moment in time. But on average, most things are not that critical.
So
in that moment in time.
Just say, it'll be all right. I'll get another chance later.
And we want this to be a call-in show. It is about you, the listener. It's about us trying to be there for you, to listen, to help you out with life's day-to-day challenges, problems at work, problems right now around the holidays, dealing with family members. So please call us at area code 323-203-0815. Again, that's 323-203-0815.
I want to talk a little bit about maybe, I don't know, five or six of the main problems people have over the holidays. I mean, we've definitely touched upon a few, but I'd like to talk about I don't know, depression during the holidays? Because I think that's really, really big. And what you recommend in that case?
Well, I also like to give a little blurb then about what I consider to be depression. Mm-hmm. You know, many people will call sadness depression, but sadness is a feeling and depression is a state of being, so which is different than a feeling. Depression, like shame and some other states of being, mm-hmm. prohibit us from actually being able to be our true selves. It's almost a nullifier of the self. It's a compressor. It says, keep it down, keep it down, keep it down.
Okay.
And therefore, it's very hard to actually be one's true, authentic self, to be able to express what one might actually be feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And true depression is a prolonged state of being down.
Okay.
It is not a momentary turn of events. You got bad news and you
right.
feel upset about it, and you may not feel like actually going to the party because you just found out that your best friend was cheating on mm-hmm. You with your husband.
Oh, God.
You know,
that kind of thing.
You know, that kind of thing. So worthy of okay. pausing and.
And when you mean prolonged, I think our listeners want to know about, I mean, what time period, what's like maybe the shortest?
In clinical depression, along with many other symptoms, it would be a minimum of 2 weeks. But there are varying degrees of depression. So mm-hmm. clearly, if somebody is down for several days or chronically, not so low that they have all the other signs of severe mm-hmm. depression, but maybe it's a prolonged condition, something called dysthymia or atypical depression.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots and lots of variance in
okay.
that state. But around the holidays, I think when people are talking about depression and the holidays, it's really sort of an overwhelming sense of doom and gloom
mm-hmm.
that this, you know, it may be all those Hallmark cards, mm-hmm. all those the posters, the signs, the television commercials that you see, everybody's together. Maybe in this situation, maybe you had a change of a job and you had to travel and you won't be able to be home for the holidays, or people mm-hmm. who would generally be around you for the holidays are on vacation doing something else with their families, or mm-hmm. there's been a family conflict and nobody's getting along, so everybody chooses not to get together. There's so many things like that. Or maybe somebody had a downturn in their finances and now they won't be able to have mm-hmm. the kind of holiday gifts
yeah.
that they're used to, or maybe they actually valued their self-worth was partially valued by what they can give to other people. And so
right.
therefore, if they can't give as much, all those things can contribute to somebody feeling down. How about you? What kinds of things do you notice in people when they say that they're...
Yeah, it was interesting. When you were talking about that, I heard a lot about isolation, like people feeling either lonely or isolated during that time. And I think that's really, really common. I mean, I think there's so much expectations during the holidays now with exactly like you were saying, all the greeting cards, the commercials, the sales in the store. I mean, it's just, there's sort of that big hype. And so I wonder if a lot of people feel like, okay, wait, I'm not going to have that big holiday festive, you know, experience. I mean, even for me, we, you know, I moved to LA recently and I'm not going to do Thanksgiving this year. I think we even be going out to a restaurant, you know, with my immediate family, maybe my father-in-law, and that's it. And there is sort of that part of me that's like, oh gosh, there's this expectation to have this grandiose Thanksgiving and, you know, make it a big deal. So I can definitely understand why people can feel almost not good enough during the holidays, or what they're doing, you know, isn't enough.
It's so I'm so glad that you said that, because it just rang true in my own mind about where the kinds of things that we find to be a gift in disguise when we're at certain periods of our mm-hmm. lives versus when it really feels icky,
yes.
yucky. Like, so for the last 6 years, for various reasons that I will not go into today, at least on the show, maybe another time, I've been mostly doing Thanksgiving on a very small scale with very limited mm-hmm. People around. And it'll be this year the first time that I'll be actually participating in a much grander family, extended
no.
family type of thing.
Uh-huh.
So as you were saying that, a restaurant, I'm thinking, oh,
what
how
a great
lovely.
Idea. Exactly.
No stress.
No cleanup.
No cleanup.
Yeah.
None of that turkey skin stuck
right.
on the, you know, on the splatterings of all that, and the toxic oven cleaners, and
yeah.
trying to figure out the organic ones, you know, all that stuff.
Yep.
And don't have to please anybody. And,
yes.
you know, it's simple. So in some ways, be careful what you
wish
for, right?
Exactly.
Because I've been kind of missing that family thing. And now I'm more anxious about it than I
right.
am
right.
excited about it. But I am excited about it. And it will be fun and wonderful.
Sure.
But it is an interesting thing. That's a great thing for us to focus on for people as you're listening. That, wow, you know, sometimes the very things that we see to be as a negative, if you rethink them and look at them, put them in place, put them in context, and maybe it would actually be more positive.
Absolutely. It's called reframing in the psychology terms. And yeah, it's just kind of putting a different perspective on things so you can maybe look at it a different way, a little bit more objectively or a little bit more positively.
If you're struggling with anything around anxiety, the holidays, or anything going on in your life, we do want to hear from you. So please call us at 323-203-0815. But let's talk some more about, so we got depression, right? That certainly can come up for people. And we've talked about anxiety.
Yep.
Maybe we can get a little bit more specific about some of the types of dilemmas or stresses that come up for people in the holidays. I think, also shopping and,
yes,
you know,
the gifts.
Gift,
oh my God,
gift
I was
giving.
Just
that
watching
huge.
The news about how the stores are opening way earlier this year. And I think that causes a lot more stress. And I actually feel bad for the workers who probably won't even be able to have a Thanksgiving because they've got to rush and get to the stores. But
My gosh, I have a story about that because actually this year after I'm one of those sort of old conservative types that you don't deal with anything for the holidays at least until after Halloween.
Okay,
right?
Yes.
So it's, you know, Halloween then and becomes then the mark of, okay, we're transitioning now into, not that I don't think about it, but I'm not really like obsessively going out to stores and trying to get all the right things. So this year, actually wanting to go to, even though my child is grown, but we have lots of little kids in our neighborhood, so I love doing the decorations. But it's always much more cost-effective to buy the decorations at the end of one season for the next season, because half off, 75% off.
Sure.
The day after Halloween, when I went to the big stores that have all those things, gone. Shelves are gone. And
amazing.
Not only were the holiday things up and had been up for weeks, which I wasn't aware, those shelves were cleaned out.
Unbelievable. So what do you think it is? Is it like a keeping up with the Joneses? Like everybody's got to get their stuff, or people are so almost anxious that they're over preparing?
You know, that's a great question. I would just be speculating. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a competition thing. If it's, is this maybe one of the first, I guess we're reporting that there's better store earnings, et cetera, this year. So maybe that's a sign of a little bit of the economy going up. And so people have a little bit more spending money so that they are investing in things like that, tangible, less expensive items as opposed to the big items, because they can feel good about that in the moment.
Right.
But I don't know. I think it's, I mean, the next thing you know, I know lots of people have said this, by, you know, February of this next year, we'll be planning for the next holiday.
It's
crazy.
Horrible. Oh my God. Well, I mean, I think, you know, given what we're talking about, I think there is a lot of anxiety about trying to find the perfect gift for somebody, and or maybe not getting the right gift, or, I mean, all of that. And I guess I just want to say to the listeners that, you know, it's the old cliche, it's the thought that counts. And, you know, some of the best gifts that I've ever gotten were, you know, handmade or homemade, or, you know, one of my friends, she couldn't afford something, and she made some bath, it was like a bath soap out of rose water, and it was fantastic, and it was really sweet, and I know that she took time to make it. And so, you know, I just want to remind our listeners that, you know, it's not always about the most expensive, or, you know, it's just, it's really coming from the heart, in my opinion.
And that is such a beautiful point. And actually, I was actually proud of myself and proud of certain members of my family this last year who really took that to heart and understood, because, you know, people can be at different financial levels in their lives also. And when you have gatherings where you put a lot of people together, there's a lot of pressure on people to spend a certain amount or not spend a certain amount. I'm not wanting to feel bad for people. So, you know, putting a limit, if you have like a gathering with people and you're going to do gift exchanges at that time with a bunch of people, putting a dollar amount, and or I think much more fun is asking everybody to actually make something special for one another, or do like sort of a Secret Santa thing where everybody has to make something that's for someone else, or be able to come up with a game or an activity to make it more experiential than just about gifts.
Right.
Because I remember my daughter and her boyfriend last year, they made these beautiful little salves in these little glasses that were, you know, for the skin, for the face, that took all the organic ingredients and these herbs and oils and stuff and put them into these little jars. And it was their heart that they were putting into it. They actually hand painted these bottles of water that you could refill, or you could use as vases. And they're just absolutely beautiful.
I would love them.
Not everybody is not as artistic as she may be, but there's lots of creative things that people can do that really take some of that pressure out of the gift giving.
Absolutely. And then another question I think people have is as far as parties and sort of especially work parties, establishing boundaries. I mean, it's a different world. You're at work, you're kind of formal, and then you're in a party scenario and things change a little bit. What do you say about that?
Well, I would say that do not drink more than 2 bottles of champagne.
Exactly.
Do not hang from the chandeliers.
Yeah.
Do not have sex with your coworker in the bathroom.
Oh my God.
At least go to the car.
Yeah. Do you think people think at these parties like, okay, finally I can sort of let loose. I've been, you know, holding down this whole time, trying to, you know, remain formal, and now here's my chance to kind of let it all hang out, so to speak.
I actually do think that exactly. I think that people in a lot of workplace environments, there's so much stress.
Yeah.
There's so much deadlines and get this done on time and do this and do that, that it's really important. Looks like we have a caller.
We do. Hi, you're on live with Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly.
Hello.
Hi.
Who's this?
Hi.
What's your name?
This is Fran from Maryland.
Hi, Fran.
Fran from Maryland. Thank you so much for calling. Do you have a question or
my
concern?
Pleasure. I do have a question.
Sure.
My question is, over the holidays, you know, people give you gifts, and sometimes they're really not exactly what you're wanting.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on re-gifting? And what happens if the person finds out that you re-gifted?
Wow. So here's my take on re-gifting.
Go for it.
And then I want to hear Dr. Deborah's. But I don't have a problem with re-gifting at all. I mean, I think it's okay. I mean, especially if you're not going to really use it and you think somebody else could really use it, why not? It's like another person's, what do they say? One person's junk is another person's treasure. So I have no problem with re-gifting. And then to answer your next question, I'll go back to that, but I want to hear what Dr. Deborah says about re-gifting also.
I agree, Coach Kelly, but I also would add in, depending on who it's from, right?
Okay.
There are some people who are very attached to the gifts that they give.
True.
And should it ever come out later on down the the pike that that gift that they thought was very special could become very, very tense and cause conflict in the relationship.
Okay.
But also keep in mind, many times the person who is that attached to their gift is pretty self-absorbed because they're not necessarily thinking about
the person
that they just think that it's the best gift because they want the attention or they want to be the one at the party that everybody says, oh, and Aunt Jane, she gave me this, la, la, la.
Right.
So is it safe to say that if it's sort of a generic gift that isn't so personal that no one would know kind of you passed it on? Like, okay, so let's say somebody gives you a box of See's candy. And you know what? You're not really into chocolate, so you then re-gift it. So is it kind of safe to say if it's a generic gift, it's okay to re-gift, but if it's a little bit more personal, then maybe you should keep it and just kind of...
That's a good point. And I'm curious, Fran, is there a gift in particular that you wouldn't mind sharing with us that you have received that you might want to be re-gifting? And from who did you get it?
Oh, well, actually, it was another situation, and it wasn't so much re-gifting. It was more that I actually returned it, and I felt badly, but it was the kind of thing that actually had an odor, and it sounds weird, but it happened to be a necklace that had some leather trim on it, and there was something very strange about
the smell,
the way it smelled, and so I didn't want to upset the person, but frankly, it didn't smell very good, so...
I can understand that. I mean, if it's going to make you physically ill or just not feel good, then it's understandable. But did the person end up finding out about it, the return?
No.
Okay.
No.
Luckily. You know, in that situation, I think, depending, again, on this person and how sensitive they may be or how maybe narcissistic they may be about the actual right. gift. I think being able to say to somebody very positively and very kindly, wow, this is beautiful, and but I have a particular sensitivity to certain smells or to certain textures or to certain types of material, and I just know that I won't get the use out of this that I would really love, so I don't want to offend you. I don't want to keep seeing in you and you wonder, you know,
why I'm not wearing
why I've never worn that or what I really think about it. That way you get to be very authentic about it. I keep using that word today, but it seems to be my word of the day. And then you can say, but would you please, I don't want you to be offended, but I think I would really love to find something that would be meaningful that you've given to me.
So, okay, but let's say there's not an odor. It's just you really don't like the piece of jewelry. Do you then also say to the person, oh, hey, you know, it was so sweet of you to get me this piece, but it's just not my taste? Or in that case, do you, I mean, chalk it up? What do you suggest in that case?
I am going to be the perfect fence dweller on this one, Coach Kelly.
You can see it
because
both ways.
I can see it both ways. I mean, I can see, again, I think I would want to take into so many things into account in making that determination. I mean, there are certain people that I know that I could directly say, wow, you know, that is just, that's astounding. Right. It's a beautiful piece of art. It just isn't my taste.
Yeah.
You know, calling it art. What's that, Fran? Yes? I'm sorry, Fran, what did you say?
I said, you're right. It would be like not my cup of tea kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And if you happen to know that that person has not even a fairly thick skin, but it has a good, reasonable mind, you know, who's able to say, well, that makes sense.
Sure.
You know, I wouldn't want you to be trying to wear something that you don't like, and I'd rather you
get something you love.
Yeah, and maybe the one who did the giving, it would be really amazing in that situation. I hope I encounter this at some point in myself and I'm willing to do it, to be able to say, let me try again. Tell me what you do like.
Wow,
let me take the gift back and I would like to try again. Which might be something as a way, when you're giving gifts, you can actually role model for people who may be somebody who would give you something you wouldn't ordinarily like and then wouldn't have that dilemma. To be able to say, hey, Susie, you know what? I gave you this gift, and I don't really know you that well to know if you'd like it or not. But I have a good sense. So if you don't like it, I would really appreciate it if you let me have another chance. Or you simply say, if you don't like it, I have nothing invested in whether you. I think letting people off the hook as the gift giver is a great thing that I wish more people did.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. That's so helpful.
Thank you so much,
Fran,
for
calling. Thank you so much.
And thanks for listening.
To both of you.
Thank you, Fran. You have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you.
I hope you do, too. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
And tell all your friends about the show.
Oh, for certain. Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you to Fran. That was wonderful. That was like right in line with what we were
talking about. That's so funny.
Yeah. And we definitely have time for more callers. So please do pick up that phone. And dial.
We actually just got an email.
Oh, wonderful. Go for it.
Dear Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly, my parents are divorced and every holiday it creates tension. I love them both, but it never seems easy to spend time with both without one of them getting upset. I'm sure many people have this problem. Any ideas? Thank you so much for that email.
Yeah. So let's, since we don't have a name on this one.
We'll just call him Any Ideas or her.
Okay. Any Ideas. I'm sorry. I was paying more attention to something else, Kelly, which we were reading. The parents don't like the boyfriend, you just said. Which one did you say? Oh, divorced. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know we have another one here, too, that I have in front of me. All right. Great. So...
I'll take a stab at this. Yeah. So, I mean, I think you're not alone in this. I know so many people who have two sets of parents. It's very difficult. I mean, honestly, I think it's a matter of balance of, you know, doing the best you can. And if either one doesn't understand that, then that's kind of on them. I mean, I think you need to do what's best for you and your family. And yes, spend time with both, because obviously, you know, both want to be with you and you probably want to be with both. But I mean, I don't know, maybe setting some boundaries beforehand, sitting down with both of them and saying, hey, you know, the holidays are always really tough. I want to be with you the full time, but obviously, you know, it's very difficult. So, you know, just just kind of want to say it now that I'm probably going to be spending a little less time than you want. I'm going to need to divide the time, and I hope that's okay. Is there any special activity that you want me to carve out, you know, that we can do together? Or, you know, do you have a preference on, you know, time, if I spend time with you in the morning or the afternoon? And maybe giving them a little bit of control in that scenario may help a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, and I will do my depending on again.
Yeah, the scenario.
I think a lot of this depends on the level of conflict between the parents, right? There are some people who they have been divorced for years and they're really not in high conflict. It's just certain traditions have been created, and then a child grows up and says, you know, I kind of want to change those, or my life is different now than it used to be.
Sure.
So I think if that child, who's now an adult child, can state, as you're saying, to each parent, this is what I envision for the holidays. And by the way, you guys talk to each other and kind of figure out some ways in which you guys would be okay with it. Do not have the burden all on the adult child.
Yes, very true.
Now, that's much harder for a younger child to be able to call that out, and they're often just the victims of the parents' conflict. But that's why, just as another, as a spokesperson yet again out in the world of, if people get divorced, figure it out, make amends with each other, move on, let it go, let go of the anger. It just hurts children in so many ways when that is carried forward.
Of course.
You know, and all the way into their adult lives, and that's just a tragedy. So it's absolutely critical. If you're just listening now and you are in a high conflict divorce, or you've been divorced for years, and you are still angry at your ex-spouse, work on letting go. Work on getting over that, because your life is too important. And as they say, resentment is like swallowing poison and waiting for the other guy to die. It just hurts everybody. So, you know, I think that's a great question. And yes, this person who emailed us, it's so prevalent, especially in our society where the divorce rate is so high. And it's not that, you know, that in and of itself is not necessarily what damages kids. It's how the parents deal with it.
Right.
Post hoc, you know. So, yeah, that's a great question. The other thing I think that we haven't really covered so much is addictions.
Oh,
addictions
that's
in the
huge.
Holidays. And whether you yourself are struggling in recovery or in the throes of an addiction, or whether you have family members who have addictions of any kind. You know, we can be addicted to substances, chemical dependency, alcohol. We can also be addicted to shopping. We can be addicted to gambling. We can be addicted to just about anything.
Yep.
And the realms of addiction is, you know, it's far outside what would become the norm, and it's something that's perpetual and continues forward in all contexts of life. It's not just the occasional splurge. Let's say if you have a shopping addiction, and or you have a shopping spree where you've saved your whole year for the holidays, and that's when you like to blow the wad and you budget for that, and then you know when you get your credit card bill, or you know when that green stuff in your pocket has been depleted, that you're going to be okay. That you didn't spend four car payments, or you didn't spend the mortgage for your house, et cetera, or your rent, or end up in something that would actually hurt your life.
So you're saying, so an addiction basically is when something, some sort of issue becomes unmanageable, whether that's shopping, drinking, when you basically feel like your life is unmanageable because of that scenario. Is that
absolutely
right?
And not be, and feeling that you no longer have control over it, but it controls you. So, you know, that's a big event over the holidays, because a lot of times, you know, let's say it is your sister Patty who has some sort of addiction, let's say, to alcohol, who maybe is new in recovery, maybe 1 month out of recovery. Well, in recovery, it's really suggested that you don't put yourself in situations where there would be any kind of alcohol, any kind of substances.
Yeah.
So you have, let's say, a traditional family Thanksgiving where there's bottles of wine on the table, that everybody's having a cocktail in advance before the dinner, and people sit and drink wine. And now you're in this quandary of, do I come or do I not? Do I go to the event or do I not go to the event? So, you know, something for people to think about, and please share with us if you've been in this situation before, where do you, as the one in recovery, make that statement, I will come if we're willing to do other things? We have another caller.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Hi, you're on live with Dr. Deborah and Coach Kelly. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Claudette. I'm calling from Virginia.
Hi, thanks so much for calling. What can we help you with today?
I have a question, sort of relationships and holidays. My mother-in-law is somewhat of a negative person, I'll say. I, you know, through the year can kind of manage that, you know, by keeping somewhat of a distance, or, you know, allowing it as I allow it into my life.
Sure.
But she's coming to stay with us for a few days over the holidays, and I'm just not sure how to really diffuse it, so to speak, in terms of, you know, we have a new baby in the house. My husband can kind of check out when he wants to or chooses
yes.
to. I don't want to say they have a bad relationship, but it's not the best, and I kind of tend to be the middleman. So my question just being, like, do you have any tactics I can use when her ranting kind of goes to the negative, or when, you know, it just that I can kind of turn it around for the 3 days that she's going to be in our home.
One thing that comes to mind, this is Dr. Deborah, by the way. Hi.
Thank you.
For calling. Yeah. Thank you for sharing the details of your life. I know that's
hard.
That's hard.
It's very relatable.
You know, one tactic that sometimes is effective, and I don't know if this would work at all with your mother-in-law not knowing her personality style, but when she starts to go negative, change the subject. Sort of guide her as you would do for a young child when they're poking their finger in the light socket over and over again.
Yes.
You put something else in front of them. Create the weekend with lots of games and distractions, things that you could all do together, play charades. You know, don't have too much down idle time. Just say,
that's a great idea.
Kind of changing it up this year.
Yes.
We want to create new traditions for our child and for our family. So,
sure.
You know, everybody maybe can be brainstorming in advance about things that they might like to do, as opposed to just having that time where you're all sitting around the dinner table and you're wanting to kill your husband, not literally, but you're like,
right.
I can't believe he's not helping me with this.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what comes to mind right away.
And I want to say, too, taking care of yourself, and it's okay for you to take a 15-minute walk if you need some space. I mean, I think a lot of times we try to be so polite and then we end up being even more resentful. So I think it's really important for you. I mean, if you can't kind of take a walk, even just taking 5 minutes and journaling, or just sort of letting it out where you kind of feel safe and not, you know, totally stuck.
Sure. No, that totally makes sense.
I have another one also, if you can handle one more.
Absolutely.
You know, so with your husband, a lot of guys don't do well unless you give them actual tasks, like, this is what I need you to do, and this is when I need you to do it.
Very smart.
So if you can have conversations, and it would be less of the generalities, like, I need you to help more, guys go, yeah, I help you all the time.
Oh,
instead
sure.
of, I need you to help in this way. So when we're doing the dinner, I want you to do this, 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 and this. If you run out of tasks in that moment, come back to me because I have another 5 on the list for you.
It's very smart. So you're saying be very direct.
Be very direct, but in a loving way. And
if
you do that before you're stressed out, it usually helps, because our tone of voice usually becomes very different and sometimes threatening to our loved ones when we're under stress.
Right.
People will often perceive that as anger, and sometimes it is, but sometimes it's just stress.
Mm-hmm. No, but
when it comes to me, I have them pretty well trained, but it's really just with his mom that, you know, when we're engaging or anything, that if to say the negative part tends to be somewhere about her situation and circumstances and her life. So, you know, it is a little hard to change a subject when, you know, she's opening up about her medical problems or her financial problems or this and that and the other. So you don't want to be like, oh, but this movie I saw the other day, you know, however that goes. But I really do like the idea of having kind of a schedule to follow of different activities, because that'll move things along well. But, yeah, no, I mean, it's just when she goes that route, that's when my husband's kind of like, okay, you know, I'm going to not... you know, because it's just hard to respond to. We don't know what to say. We don't know how to, you know, tell her we can't make it better. So,
well, then that leads me to, if you can try this on, it's a different style of listening.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to the absorption style, you know, when you have a friend who's really confiding in you and wants your advice and is really asking for help and is going to listen to your help, as you're doing right now. You're asking for help, and you're actually responding positively to the feedback that we're giving to you. But some people don't do that very well. They're actually just, they just want to vent.
To vent, yeah.
And so when you're in a vent listening mode, you're basically put almost like a channel through your head. Like, just imagine that goes in one ear and right out the next.
Yeah.
And periodically, you take a pause and you say, I'm sure that's really hard for you, and just keep on
and then,
going.
Yeah.
And then put a time limit on it in your own mind.
Yes. So it's also like active listening, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're sort of asking maybe some questions so they feel heard. So she's, let's say she's complaining about her medical stuff. Oh, my leg. Oh, so your leg really hurts? Yeah, you know, it's really killing me. And oh, wow, I bet that's really hard. It's just sort of having that empathetic. And it's hard. So I agree, but putting a time limit. But then maybe she'll feel heard and then she can kind of end it, you know, where she, instead of not wanting to hear the solutions, but maybe wanting to hear the empathy.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely wants that, for and, sure. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
And thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. Try out your tactics.
Wonderful, right. And happy holidays to you.
Thanks, you too.
Bye-bye.
So, unbelievable here, Coach Kelly. We're kind of getting close to our show, and we definitely want to give our listeners some tips on staying sane during the holidays. I think that would be really magnificent for a close.
Perfect.
Well, you start.
Okay, great, because I wanted to start. Number one, meditate. I'm a big believer in meditation. It's really hard to do, but oh my God, it's so worth it. It's wonderful. And I mean, we could spend hours on this, but I'll just say, I mean, even if you don't have a formal practice, even just saying a word that you want to basically feel the rest of the day, peace or serenity, and just sort of thinking about that thought, you know, for a few minutes, and just giving that time for yourself will make a huge difference.
Absolutely. And that's something that's commonly misunderstood, that meditation is supposed to be this absolutely amazingly blissful state of mind that takes you 7 hours to get to.
Exactly.
Simple practices of meditation. Mm-hmm. Go online, search meditation.
Yes.
You'll come up with 5, 7, 10 different
versions. There's so many different
how
types.
To do that. But,
and the only wrong way to meditate is not to do it at all. That's what I always
say. The other one is bookend it, which is if you're having a stressful holiday and you know that you have an event coming up or a situation that might be challenging, have a friend on call. Talk to the friend beforehand.
Yes.
Have another friend or the same friend on call afterwards, or even as a check-in, maybe with text messaging or emails these days.
Yes.
We can do 5-minute check-ins
it's
with
true.
Somebody. We need to, you know, like you said, go outside the room, take 15 minutes for yourself, and take care of yourself that way.
Sure. Number three is keep it simple. So don't overextend yourself, you know, and then we talked a lot about perfectionism. So just limit that and just know, you know, you do the best you can. And that's all that really matters.
And number four, learn the biggest word in the dictionary. It has two letters and it's spelled no. And everybody, maybe not everybody, many people may have seen that t-shirt. What part of no do you not understand?
That's so funny.
Right? So, I mean, no is a really big word because it's powerful. And when you look at development and children and infants, what's the first, one of the first words that they learn? No. Well before they learn
so
yes.
It's so true.
So sometimes it's very appropriate to simply say, I just can't
right.
accommodate. I can't do that. Or I'm maxed out and I just can't get to that.
And if you're afraid to do that, because that is very difficult. Sometimes you can, if people ask you to do something, I always like to say, you know what, let me think about it, because it gives you, doesn't put you directly on the spot. And then later, if you really feel strongly, you know, about it, you can then say, you know what, I've been thinking about it. I'm so sorry, I can't do it this time.
Absolutely. Or an alternative to that also is, I can't do it that way, or I can't do it then, but this is what I can offer you.
Perfect.
Because there's some people who, as they say, won't take no for an answer. But
exactly. But if you twist it a little bit,
twist and turn. Okay.
Number five, we talked a little bit about this also, journaling. I'm a big fan of journaling. Writing down all those fears, the resentments, you know, what you can accept and, you know, what you just have to accept.
So we'll just run through these because we do have to wrap up.
Okay.
Remember that your needs matter too. Yep. Get plenty of exercise.
Self-medicate as much as possible. Just kidding.
Don't substances. Don't put yourself in that debt. Don't overdo anything. Moderation. Watch for negative self-talk for sure, and practice positive affirmations.
Perfect.
And my favorite is pick a mantra, something that really sings to you, like, this too shall pass, or will this really bother me in 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 days from now?
Chances are it won't.
So next week, we are going to focus on obsessions and compulsions more in detail, addictions, compulsive behavior, and talk more about that. But also, again, this is a call-in show, and we're going to be here every Tuesday, and you can archive our show, and we do want you to send us emails about anything, and you can call in live during the show. So thank you for listening.
Thank you so much.
Talk to Dr. Deborah.
And Coach Kelly.
And you can visit Dr. Deborah on the web at drdebraonline.com. That's drdeborahonline.com. And Kelly, good news, by next week, I think my brand new website will
Very
be
cool.
up. New look. Very excited about it.
Thanks so much for listening. Take care.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.